It's Wednesday, September 20th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to Eckler's Edge, presented by Toyota, part of the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day to talk ball, and joining me to do just that is Los Angeles Chargers running back Austin Eckler. Austin, what's going on, buddy?
What a do, man. We're back for some more. It's week three. The season progresses on, man. And every week, I'm never, like I said last week, like it never ceases to amaze me, like the NFL. Like it's everything in one. It's good, it's bad, it's ugly, it's beautiful, sad, happy, all at the same time. And so, man, like I couldn't be any happier being in this league and really enjoy it, man. It's a blessing.
Yeah, football is a roller coaster of emotions, especially like the first few weeks of the season, right? You see all of your like off-season hypotheses sort of tested, right? And sometimes it's like, all right, was that a week one blip? Or, ooh, man, is the Steelers offense really this just not good, right? Like after first 2 weeks of seeing it, stuff like that. So you get to kind of see and test those. Oh, man, I feel like an idiot for talking about the Steelers offense with Matt Canada's offensive coordinator so much this offseason. But that's a topic for another time. The emotional roller coaster goes on of the NFL. Austin, for you particularly, I know just right off the top here, I just wanted to check in with you. Obviously, you miss week two. You're dealing with an ankle injury right now. So I know that the people out there want a status report. And I know that it's not like a you're going to come on here and just like tell everybody what's about to happen, because that's not how the human body works, people.
Yeah. Obviously, miss week two. Hate missing games. It's just detrimental in multiple ways, right? For me, myself, for the team, you know, for the fantasy, for the organization, for just football in general, right? We want to see our best players out there on the field, because that's what is entertaining, right? When we see these amazing plays and see consistency. So it sucks. You know, something that, you know, is part of the NFL. And, you know, we see it week in and week out. Like, it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. That's why we have depth on our rosters. And that's where, the next man mentality steps up. But as far as me, yeah, dealing with the ankle. And I've dealt with ankles in the past. And so you just got to get it to a point where you feel good, where it's taped up. And you can actually feel like, okay, if I get tackled, it's not going to be right re-aggravated and set me back to where I was before, where I could barely walk on it. And so it's like, okay. We're making progress, and you know, as long as that progress continues to happen, like, you know, that it's not, and that's going to be like, ah, like he's out for, you know, several months type of thing. It's a, you know, it's a day to day, week to week type of situation. And I like the progress that I've made so far. So hopefully back sooner than later.
Hey, that's what we all want. We all want to see you out there. And like I said, this thing is, anybody that's dealt with any sort of injury, whether you're a professional athlete or not, but certainly if you're a professional athlete, it's like you said, it's a moving target. Like I had people hitting me up on Tuesday, like, you think Austin's going to play on Sunday? I'm like, well, I don't know, period. But number two, you don't know on Tuesday how you're going to feel on Sunday. Exactly. So this is a day-to-day type of situation.
Exactly. And it's for me too. And just for all players, man, it's so annoying, especially when it's like nagging things like an ankle. It's like, I can still go in there and crush like a leg workout, but I can't run right now, you know, something like that, you know, where it's like, dang, like, my body, like, it's annoying. Like, I got to put some tape on it, you know, see if it works, feels good then. But it's like, okay, let's continue to keep working. You got to stay patient, because you can't speed it up by wanting it to be better. You know, that's not how the body works, like you said. Like, you have to make sure you don't skip steps, get the proper treatment, and, you know, make sure you kind of ease your way back into it so that you can be in a position where you can at least save yourself. Because if you didn't know, football is a violent sport. And when you're dealing with injuries, it's not the best, because you tend to try to, you know, you try to, like, you know, stay away from that area. But, you know, guys don't care if you're hurt or not. If you're on the field, it's full go. And so you got to keep that in mind when we're going through these and coming back and deciding when to come back.
I thought one of the best quotes from a coach recently about an injury was Sean McVay with the Rams, when they talked about Cooper Kupp leading into the season. We don't want Cooper Kupp, like, I'm paraphrasing, but we don't want him to just return to play. We want him to return to performance. Like, there's a difference between return to play and return to performance. And I thought that's good for people like me on the outside who don't really understand the day-to-day part of it. So, I appreciate that update, Austin. You know, like I said, I know people, if we don't talk about it, like on your podcast, people are gonna be like, what the hell, man? Like, we want to hear something from Austin. So it's good to hear from you about
this. We're
making
progress, man. I'll just say that. I know, for all the fantasy owners out there, I know you need me back. Look, I have me on a team too. It's like, okay, come on, Austin. Like, there's a lot of reasons why I'm trying to make sure that I'm getting back, you know, and your fantasy team is one of them, but there's a lot of other ones that come before that, but you all get clumped into one.
Speaking of fantasy, Josh Kelly starts in place of you on Sunday. Doesn't have like the biggest fantasy game or anything like that. But hey, if you don't end up playing this week, Austin, against the Vikings, that's a pretty nice bounce back spot for your guy, Josh Kelly, who we talked about on the show last week. The Vikings, we'll talk about them. They let up a big game to a certain running back on somebody on this podcast fantasy team a little bit later. But, you know, what did you think just Chargers Titans overall real quick before you move on to the rest of the show, like how that game went?
Well, I think the Titans, again, proved themselves that, hey, you know, they're the number one rush defense right now. You know, we saw that from them last year. That's where they stood. And they got a lot of their guys back and they're still good, if not even a little bit better than I thought we played them last year. And so they stood out, and, you know, we got into some third and longs on offense, and, you know, we were able to convert. I think we're like 2 of 14 on third down. So I think that's where we really kind of separated ourselves. But you know, I was proud of the way our guys played. I thought, you know, we played hard, and, you know, watching from the sideline, watching from home, it really does suck. It sucks so bad because, you know, you're around the guys all week and you're not there to feel the emotions with them, even though we lost. Like, It's still, I feel like I'm like, I want to be there to be in the trenches, to be there with these guys. And so, like I said, I am proud of them, proud of the way, you know, JK, even Elijah Dotson stepped up and played, you know, had some good pass protections. He showed some flashes here and there when they had opportunities. But man, yeah, it was a tough day. It was one of those NFL games where it's bloody. It's bloody in the run game. And I've seen those. I've been through those. And there's a couple games, especially as a running back, we've been through a lot of those where it's like, you know what? Like, today is one of those days where it's going to be, you know, it's going to be 3, 4, or 5 yard gains, or those are what we're looking for now. You know, if maybe you'll get a one to pop, but this is one of those games where you're going to have to get your nose bloody and run in there and have to probably run in through bodies. You know, came down to the end overtime, obviously trying to get it done, ended up short. But like I said, man, I'm so proud of our team. I think we still have a lot more to go. I think we're definitely better than 0-2, but, you know, we got to go out there and prove it. And so we got another week to do. We got a lot of ball left to play, and hopefully I can be out there and help contribute this week.
Well, we do hope to see you out there as soon as possible, man. But injuries are like just a theme at the running back position right now. Injuries, and I'll say injuries and chaos, because some of these are not injury situations, but there's a couple of situations where, you know, again, the sad part is that maybe one guy's banged up or there's something going on with the team, but there's an opportunity for another player, right? I mean, you're a guy who rose up from the undrafted ranks because you eventually got those opportunities and you capitalized on those opportunities. So I want to talk about a few of those guys here. I mean, look, I talked about it on like a little solo hit after Monday Night Football last night for yesterday's episode, but man, Nick Chubb going down, talk about like emotions of football. That was rough to watch. Could you just like speak on Nick Chubb and like just what type of player he is? And I don't know, he just feels like such a, when that happened, dude, I was like brokenhearted for the guy. Cause this is a knee issue that he had in college and he's come all the way back from, and is such a special player.
Yeah. I mean, when you just talk about like just the human in general and just humans in general, you know, on the football field, like, yeah, we all are human. You know, so, you know, it's unfortunate that it happened to Nick, and, you know, like, you know, you've heard nothing but great things about the person that he is. We haven't come across each other, cross paths, you know, too many times. But just, I know just being around, you know, people that have been around him, or he's like, seems like he's just like down to earth, like just wants to show up, just wants to work hard. But anyway, you don't want to see anyone get hurt, you know, especially those type of injuries where it's like, it's ugly and, you know, and it's something that, you know, it's going to take a while to come back from. And yeah, it sucks. It sucks for the game. You know, like, that's what I said, you know, earlier in this podcast, like, we want to see our best player, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Nick Chubb, like, there's some others out there too. Like, we want to see these guys on the field because that's what makes the game exciting, right? Where we have guys that are making these amazing plays. Nick Chubb's running through your defense, right? Dragging people, stiff arming people, you know, squatting with, you know, the bungee bar and 7 plates on it. Yeah. You know, like, we want to see those guys on the damn field, man. And yeah, it's the worst part about, you know, athletics is the injury part. But I think that's also one of the parts that, you know, gives other people, like you said, opportunities, where it's like, even for me, you know, I'm not going to say there's a blessing in it, but it is a next man up mentality. So now someone else is going to be able to get to tape and get film out there and see if they can play in this league. You know, for me, my rookie year, it was Melvin Gordon in front of me, then Brandon Oliver in front of me. I was like the third string running back with special teams. And then Brandon Oliver ended up tweaking his hamstring. And so I was getting more offensive reps. And then I started scoring touchdowns. And it was an opportunity like, oh, maybe this guy can play. And so even though it's a terrible part of the game, it also plays, you know, some type of benefit to the guys that are deeper on the depth chart to get more opportunities to show what they have and maybe potentially step into a role where, you know, they can start getting more reps or more film out there. But yeah, man, it's one of those where it's like, it sucks to talk about, but you know, it's part of the game. Sometimes it helps people, you know, most of the time, as far as individuals, obviously it's terrible. And so it's part of sports and it's ugly. It's ugly and beautiful. It's all those things I was saying at the beginning. It's everything, all of these emotions all at one at the same time, right now, week to week, you know?
Yeah, that really is what it is. I mean, even moment to moment in the game on Monday, it's like, God, you know, watching Nick Chubb get carted off the field. And like, I'm with you, man, that he's such a great like representative of the sport because he seems like such just a hard worker and a grinder. And I mean, I love watching him play. Like there's very few running backs, like I could probably count on one hand, that are as exciting as Nick Chubb. You know, he's probably one of, if not the very best, like runners in the league. But at the same time, then you see a guy like Jerome Ford out there, you know, catches a touchdown pass from Deshaun Watson on kind of like a scramble drill. He carries the ball 16 times for 106 yards. He rips off a 69-yard run. And like this dude now has a huge opportunity. I'll tell you what, Austin, remember we talked about Jerome Ford actually, and like, you know, this just sucks, but I remember saying that I drafted him with the last pick in our draft, being like, well, what if something happens to Nick Chubb and you know, whatever. I ended up dropping him for a stupid defense. So there you go. someone else will pick him up. But that's what I'm saying. Like this guy now is in such a huge opportunity. You know, they move on from a veteran like Kareem Hunt in the offseason. Don't even like bring him back. But yeah, I feel like producer Colin's in the chat. Like I'm putting in my request now. Tell you what though, Colin, buddy, you better be ready to drop like 100% of your free agent. You know, we don't have free agent budgets on our league, but if you do, like he's a guy that's going to go for all of it because just a great rushing system. They clearly like the player. Like he had an offseason injury and he's still the backup running back and he's kind of an unproven player. So big opportunity for a guy like Jerome Ford.
For sure. For sure.
Next one, you know, Saquon Barkley, apparently he's set to miss some time. Maybe, bro. I don't know if you saw this right before we got taped, but Brian Daboll calls this guy like a special healer and he might play on Thursday night. So, dude, Saquon, by the way, hell of a game on week two. Like, this is what's so funny about the running back value discussion, Austin. It's like all offseason. It's like, yeah, we'll pay Daniel Jones. We don't want to pay Saquon Barkley. And then, like, it gets to crunch time. We've been getting our butts kicked for six quarters. And then Saquon Barkley looks like out there dragging the team around. You know, Daniel Jones had some nice moments too, but he's out there dragging the team around, scoring touchdowns. And like, yeah, it's just, if he's not out there, I know Matt Breida's like, he's on the depth chart, but they're just a totally different team without him.
For sure. And we knew that. And that's why, you know, we made the argument like that was BS that they're trying to franchise him. Like this guy is a pivotal role in your offense. Like give this man a contract. Like you should want this guy to be around for a while, in my opinion. And in our opinion, says running backs like that, like, yeah, why would you not try to sign this guy? But yeah, that's a whole other conversation. But, you know, it goes back to this, like, this conversation around injuries and, like, the injury report. I know we were going to get into this or, you know, talk about it. But it's like, what is the injury report, right? Who, like, really, as teams, we try to keep it as secretive as possible. Just because, like, we don't want people knowing what's going on with our guys because that's their personal matter, right? It's, hey, it's your body, like, you don't need outside pressure from, you know, reporters, or you don't want people like building these narratives that aren't true. And so with the injury report, it really is super like secretive. It's like something that we keep close to us for personal reasons. And to make sure that it's not this media coverage of how someone's ankle recovery is going and everywhere, like we got media talking about it. It's like, no, we'll give you the update. You know, for us, it's like, we take it the same way. It's like week to week, day to day. Obviously if it's a known injury, that's a little bit more serious, then, you know, obviously, you know, there's going to be more time, but especially like ankles and stuff, like they can range for something that you could tape up. I played whole seasons on sprained ankles, and they can range from something that you miss, you know, weeks for. You know, even sometimes months, depending on, you know, how severe it is. You know, if it's high, is it low? You know, what's the severity of it? Is it possibly even surgery? You know, so like, yeah, with Saquon, you know, coming back Thursday, I don't know. No one knows. You know, we'll see. We'll hear, I guess, what the scouting report says. And, you know, really want to see, I think the best thing is, you know, that Thursday before kickoff, if you got it, making sure that you're up to date. What do you do with that when you have people that are like, you know, game day decisions? Like, how are you keeping up with that? Like, you know, that time, like you before the game, like you're calling someone on the sideline or like, who's at the game? Hey, is he warming up? You know, like, what do you do?
Yeah, right. I mean, just like I was on the phone with you all weekend, like, yo, you know, what's the deal, man? You're on my fantasy team, bro. I don't have inside sources like that. But I think the big thing is it's really tough with Thursday because the early games like that, you don't have as much time to sort of prepare a plan. I mean, just like, you know, like teams do. You guys got the short turnaround. For me, I would make sure I have like another option. Now, if I have Saquon, I don't think I have him on any teams this year, not intentionally, just didn't end up drafting him anywhere. I would be making sure like I've got somebody in my running back spot ahead of Saquon Barkley. Even if, and this is one thing too, like I almost never want to play a flex play, like a player in the flex on Thursday, because then if a late injury crops up, let's say like in practice, somebody tweaks something and then I've burned that flex spot, but like I don't have a backup running back I feel good about. I have a backup wide receiver I feel good about, but I can't play the wide receiver in the running back spot, right? So leave that. Oh, that is one advice I have for all you people out there. Do not be playing your flex players on Thursday. Leave yourself that flexibility, literally flexibility for the games afterwards. So but you got to keep up with it. You got to be like having the alerts on for like a team beat writer. You got to be having the Schefter alerts on, you know, like there are plenty of accounts out there that are going to be providing sort of those updates like minute by minute. But for Thursday, especially, like you should be making, we're recording this on Tuesday, you're hearing this on Wednesday. I would be making plans right now on like Tuesday afternoon as to like, he's not going to play. And then, all right, well then if he does, that's a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, for sure. All right, good. There you go. I love it. I love the advice. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. And if it's a guy that's playing on Sunday, like really be following these practice reports. Like if a guy doesn't practice on Friday, again, injury report isn't everything. But you know, if he's not practicing on Friday, then you need, again, you've got a few days now to come up with, what am I going to do at this running back spot or this wide receiver spot if this guy's not going to play, right? I wanted to ask you about Jahmyr Gibbs, mostly because you know, the Lions in your eyebrow bet. David Montgomery is set to miss maybe potentially a couple weeks here with an injured thigh. So you're off the hook, pal. Maybe he won't end up as a top 15 back. Although that dude was off to a nice start to the season.
Hey, it's not. Jahmyr Gibbs, look, I started, you know, not scoring any touchdowns for the first 3 weeks last year. So, you know, he can still come back and make up some ground. So let's not get him, count him out yet.
Yo, I'm not counting him out. He's on like actually a lot of my teams, David Montgomery. So I'm trying to come up with my plan as to what I'm doing without David Montgomery. But I think, yeah, eyebrows are still on alert for sure. Shaved eyebrows are still alert. But the part of this bet that hasn't necessarily, and it's not a bet, you know, you made this bet with yourself. You did this completely to yourself. I am completely not culpable in any of this. The part of this that hasn't gone so well for the Lions so far, Jahmyr Gibbs, from like a fantasy perspective, they seemingly haven't kind of like, I would almost say they haven't like figured out what to do with him necessarily. They've gotten him in some passing situations. It hasn't necessarily provided a bunch of explosive plays. Like I would have thought that week two against the Seahawks in Detroit, in the Lions home field, that'd be a great spot to get him going. And then David Montgomery leaves and people are surprised, Austin, that this guy, Craig Reynolds, who has given him some burn before as like a two down, early down back, actually gets more playing time than Jahmyr Gibbs. So my question to you, Austin, is like, can we explain to people like the different roles within a running back room? And maybe not with these guys specifically, but sometimes I think folks on the outside look at it as, oh, Dave Montgomery's out, Jahmyr Gibbs immediately steps up, but maybe he doesn't do the same things at the running back position as a guy like David Montgomery and maybe even Craig Reynolds does.
Yeah. Just speaking general pure roles, what I've seen, and it's kind of changed over the years now, and now that I've gotten older, I kind of understand different roles in different places, where it's like first and second down back, you usually see like, okay, this is like my better runner, right? Who's on it with the runs. And it depends on the down and distances too, because if it's first and 10, mm-hmm. sure, you know, let's keep our better runner back, you know, in the game. But it's like, okay, what about third down? Okay, well, if it's third and short, you probably still want your better runner in the game, right? Where it's like, hey, like this is a bigger body, more downhill. But if it's third and long, now we're going to want a better blocker potentially more in the game, right? The third mediums where you can have, okay, maybe we put our better pass catcher in third and mediums, that like sweet spot where it's like, yeah, I feel like it really doesn't matter because you can still run it. Potentially you still throw. But when you get into third and long situations, there's a lot of like designer blitzes is what we call them, where now these defensives are getting into like, you know, three down looks, overloading one side, you know, they got people walking around. They're trying to design some type of blitz that drops people, but keeps the back in. They're trying to get you. So you might want a better blocker in a third and long, because you're probably check downs not going to get you the first down. We're probably trying to push this down the field. But then a lot of the roles also get created on what the coach trusts you on. Like, does coach trust you on third down to go and block? Because if he doesn't, and you might be a better blocker, but this guy actually knows who to block and is going to be in the right position, like, we might put the guy that we trust in there, even though he might not be as capable. So there's a lot of internal stuff that can be playing a factor into your role as well. And that's just not just at the running back, but that's just, you know, trust in general. Like, you know, I see it in our room where it's like, coach really trusts me. Like, if I could, I play every damn down, but it's like, that's not realistic. So, okay, here we go. We got JK who's been building up his trust as well. So he can come in and also kind of relieve. And it's fortunate for us because we got two backs that we like feel comfortable that can play every single down. But it's not always like that for teams. And so we might be seeing that here. I obviously don't know what the heck's going on over there. Sure. It might be a trust thing. It might be someone just not getting the plays. Like, if you're just having a hard time understanding the playbook, or you're making mistakes in practice, or you don't look as good running these plays, then guess what? Someone else might get them. It's like, okay, well, you didn't look good, but this guy ran it really well. He had good timing, good rhythm. And so we're going to give him that play in the game. There's certain plays in the game that are scripted for certain people, and they'll have a tag. Like, we'll have Eckler 11. And that's like, this is Austin's play. He's going in. So there's a lot of different factors of why a play, and especially when you have younger players, I feel like there's more things that can play into why someone's not getting that time. It might just be they need more time to continue to learn and build that trust and build that experience. So yeah, we'll see. Cause I know there's a lot of hype and a lot of anticipation for Jahmyr Gibbs to go out there and do some things, you know?
Yeah. That's what I think is interesting, hearing it from your perspective. Cause Craig Reynolds, like we talk about that trust factor, he's been on the roster. He's actually played for injured guys before. So he might just, again, Jahmyr Gibbs was drafted really high in fantasy, but for a guy like Craig Reynolds, who's been around there, maybe there is more of that trust factor. I mean, you and I, this is the part about Austin, you're experiencing what it's like as a fantasy analyst right now, because really sometimes the right answer is, I don't know. I don't know what's going on in that building,
yeah.
But you still have to sort of try to guess at it anyways.
Yeah. Which it's just tough, man. It's kind of, you're kind of set up for failure, honestly. I think that's why, you know, we see a lot of like the mainstream things that are being said kind of just repurposed, because we're trying to give you something, but we really have nothing. That's on purpose, right? Like, they're not going to come tell us like, hey, this is why we played, you know, these people. It was funny. I was watching Bill Belichick's press conference. That guy, man, he didn't give you nothing ever. No, that's just been like, you know, stereotypical, you know, Bill Belichick. But man, is it straight up dry? It is like, it's like you're not getting anything out of these teams, which is how we like to keep it, because like our mm-hmm. problems or our situation is what we want to keep internal. And, you know, you guys can just comment on what you see on the outside.
Yeah, that actually leads in great to Cam Akers. Last thing we'll cover here before we move on. This is the sometimes you can't believe what these guys say. I mean, Sean McVay all offseason talks about, oh, Cam Akers is really fitting in well with us. He's really fitting in what we're loving Cam Akers. You know, Cam Akers finishes 2022 very strong after they tried to trade him in the middle of the year. We're really liking what Cam Akers has given us right now. Week two, healthy scratch. You were here on Tuesday. We're talking about trade rumors. Kyren Williams is the starter. He's getting 10 targets in the last game, and he looks like a great fit. So if there's just ever any time for us to say, like, don't always believe what's going on, because as Austin says, they're trying to, you know, maybe sometimes pull some games, whatever. I don't know. It's
here's
my a great
thing,
reminder
like,
of that.
And I've been experiencing this recently, actually. With media, like, everyone has to be careful what they say. You know, like, coaches mm-hmm. have to be careful. Players, we have to be careful, because there's certain people out there that will try to just make a headline out of you, or, you know, call you like a liar now because you were saying this, or they'll take, you know, something, you know, out of what you said and that make that the headline, but there's no context. So you kind of, it seems bad. So I think we're also in a situation in the world and in athletics where it's like, we have to be reserved. And sometimes things come out where it's like they don't end up holding up true, and then people get, you know, exploited, and then they people get pissed off, and it's like kind of just it's like a slap on the wrist. Like, okay, again, I got to watch what I say again. I've had it happen several times. And so it's we're always continuing to learn. But yeah, we have to. That's why we speak in general terms a lot of the times, because we can't give you stuff because you're not it's going to get twisted. It's going to be. And so I don't know what's going on with Cam Akers there. You know, none of us do. You know, even if, they're talking about, hey, he's a good fit and things like that. It's like we got to see what plays out, because until we see you on Sunday, that's what actually matters. And if it's not on Sunday, then it's really hard to judge from anything before that. So, man, yeah, it's the NFL is wild, man. It's a wild time. But yeah, that's what makes it so great.
It really does. It is a shame. I hate when, you know, you guys get painted in a bad light and then like the walls go up, right? Because I would love to, you know, get the most out of everybody and like learn as much about the sport and like the inner workings as much as possible. But, you know, there are definitely bad actors out there that want to, you know, put like half the quote in a quote and leave out the context. And then everybody's, it sucks, man.
I know.
Hey, what's not a bummer, Austin?
What's that?
Our fantasy football league. The Eckler's Invitational.
The Eckler Invitational, baby. Let's go. 2-0, baby. 2-0. Yes.
Austin is currently 2-0. Too sexy for this league. Taking down Josh Norris in a pretty close one, 116.4 to 109.5. Austin, you got typical big performances from Justin Herbert. You got a nice performance from Davante Adams. This Cowboys defense pick continues to look like a pretty damn good one. Apparently the Cowboys have more sacks than points allowed, or the same amount of sacks as points to allowed so far this year. So not a bad little start there for you, pal. That's a good one.
Hey, look, I also want to give it up to like my seventh round pick, you know, Justin Tucker coming through with 11 points, coming through strong, you know. I got to give credit to him too. I'm proud of that pick. Even though it was a little high
for sure,
but, Dallas, man, that defense been going crazy. Josh Jacobs still pulled out 7 points, even though he had -2 yards rushing, which is incredible, which kind of gets into my bold prediction, which was,
You missed your bold prediction by just a little bit when you predicted 75 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I would have bet all my money. I would have bet literally every single dollar if I would have been able to, if Josh Jacob would finish the game with plus more than 1 yard, you know, like, wow.
Well, as the ads say, only bet what you can afford to lose. So don't do
well,
that.
Well, hey, look, luckily I'm not allowed to bet on anything like this. So I keep my money in my pocket. Devontae showed up. Herbert showed up. Swift, my man, DeAndre Swift. That's what we got to talk about, because we were actually talking about this last week where it was like, hey, like, don't give up on these guys, because Swift was getting kind of the back end of reps last week. And we were talking about, hey, like, you know, make sure like you don't just give up on people. And then, you know, sure enough, there were some injuries in that room. And all of a sudden, you know, DeAndre Swift finds himself in a position where like he's in the spot now. And so my thing is, how long, like, if you have like that backup player, how long do you keep that person? You know, even if they're not getting, you know, a lot of carries or things like that, like, do you keep that person on your bench for precautionary reasons? Or like, is it somewhere, like, when do you let them go, I guess?
This is the whole theme of the show, really, is that injuries can create opportunity here for a guy like DeAndre Swift, right? You mentioned Kenny Gainwell, who they, back to the trust word, they trust the hell out of that guy. He gets banged up in week 2, and DeAndre Swift has an opportunity. That's where it's tough. And I think you got to pick your spots with these. And I don't even know if I'd call Swift a backup running back, but he's part of a committee, and he had the 1A part of the committee, and we'll see what I have no idea what's going to happen going forward. By the way, Austin, that was some people came back because on our Thursday show, I was like, you know, DeAndre Swift is like, it's tough. I can't sit here and tell you that I know what his workload's going to be. I have no idea. And people pissed at me about that, but I'm like, literally, that is the truth.
Right.
Like, Nick Sirianni doesn't get on the phone with every fantasy analyst and be like, hey, just so you know, so we're going to give Swift. I'm gonna give it 28 carries. Yeah, he's gonna get 28 carries and 3 catches. That was what it'll be. Like, we are guessing. We don't have inside information there, especially when it comes to a committee that we don't have a lot of history with. So
there was,
you always want to keep. Yo, go
there
ahead.
Was a little luck that played into it. I will say, you know, there was some anticipation with the injuries, you know, in the running back room that, okay, totally, this guy's going to get some more playing time. Because I actually did have him on my bench, and then I looked at the report and I looked at what was going on in the running back room. I'm like, oh, he's going to have more opportunities. I'm going to move him up, right? We're playing with probabilities. Savvy here. Play. Like, that's what we're playing with. We're playing with probabilities. We don't have any for sures. And then in that game, you know, they ended up getting into a situation where throwing the ball wasn't happening for him, but running was. And, you know, DeAndre Swift was the one that was toting that thing. And then, you know, Boston Scott ended up getting like a, you know, a concussion, or he was ruled out. And so now DeAndre Swift's even getting more. And then Rashad Penny came in and was kind of like his kind of backup at that point. And then they kept just chunking down the field. And so really that's what we're playing here in the game of fantasy is, what are the probabilities? What factors do you play into those probabilities? And what do you think to see, you know, as the most advantageous, you know? So there's this risk reward. There's this, what's the upside, you know, because there's some players too, that I feel like, you know, are like these guys that, you know, maybe don't get a lot of touches, but when they do, it's like 70 yard bombs down the field, you know? And so you got to play this probability game. And in the running back room right now, especially with some of these injuries playing out, it's like, okay, probability is going up that they're going to have more opportunities. And so I think it's something to even look at, even if you're going, even if you had like, you know, Nick Chubb, like who's next after, who's this backup for Nick Chubb right now? What,
Jerome Ford.
Yeah. Who's next on that depth chart? Start looking to see, oh, is there another solid player there? Those are things you can look at, especially because injury is going to keep happening. And so it's a great way for you to kind of get a system of like, okay, I'm kind of looking at these other running back rooms, looking at these receiver rooms. Who are the number twos here? Is there anyone that could be a potential good add right now before any type of thing comes out, to kind of foreshadow that, you know?
And talk about playing the probabilities, which is so true. Fantasy football is a game of probability. The way to increase the probability that you're going to hit on this is, one, these like good ecosystems. I always talk about when we're talking about fantasy, like ecosystems and environments, and the Eagles run game has been one of the best ecosystems, like over the last, especially since Jalen Hurts has been there. I mean, Miles Sanders had an incredible year there last year. And that's another thing, when the backfield can get whittled down to like two guys, that increases the probability. And sometimes when it's three, then it can be really messy. You mentioned Boston Scott going out, like that certainly helped. And that was something we wouldn't have known going into the game. So, you know, that's the type of thing I would say, if you're trying to pick these, like, how long do I hold on to this guy who's not getting a ton of work? Maybe he's the third guy, but then an injury happens. Like, yeah, a dude on the Eagles, I want to try to hold on to that guy as long as possible. A dude on the Browns, you know, their offense has been shaky. Deshaun Watson has been shaky, but their run game has been extremely fruitful. A lot of that probably has to do with they have one of the best backs in football, Nick Chubb, but I still like the way that Kevin Stefanski has designed like the overall concepts of the run game. So yeah, maybe Jerome Ford is a guy that steps up because of that. So great, that's point. One thing when I'm trying to play the probabilities, like let's look for the right ecosystems there. If it's a team that's, you know, going to go 4-13, you know, what's the math, like 4-12, 4-15, whatever, who cares? Any, yeah, 4-13, whatever, 4-12, I don't know, 4-13, I forget that the damn like 17 game schedule, I got still working on the math.
Damn it.
Yeah, I know, right? All right. Yeah. So anyways, 4-13. Yeah, maybe I'm not trying to have like the third string running back on that team. So that's just, again, trying to play those probabilities. But hey, you won this week. So we got to tell people, there's kind of a little bit of a special thing here. You know, maybe we won't talk about my team because who cares? That's not important.
Whoa. I think we need to recognize that Matt is no longer undefeated. He is 1-1.
Okay, cool. We said it. Let's move on.
Okay. Let's move on. All right.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I lost a close one. You know, didn't have my first round pick in that game. But you know what? That's not on this anonymous player's problem. That's not his problem. This anonymous player, that's not his problem that he didn't play for me this weekend. Look, as I always tell people to play fantasy football, this is about personal accountability. Don't be bitching and complaining because a player didn't play or you read somebody's advice and it didn't work out. You make the choices for your team. Austin's going to miss this game on Sunday. It's on me, okay, to come up with a better plan at that backup spot.
Let me say this too. Like, we have to deal with it too. Like, guess what? Like, I'm not playing. Okay, who's going to step up? Who's the backup? Like, we put our team together to go and try to make a run. And also, we're 0-2 as a Chargers. We're 0-2. And are we giving up? Like, oh, it's over. Let me get rid of my team. Like, these guys all suck. No. Like, no, we're still pushing forward. We still got everything in front of us. So Don't get too anxious here just because maybe you're not doing the best. And if you're doing great, keep it going. But just realize it's a long season. There's ups and downs through this season, even though it's super emotional, because it is with media and this happening and you know, this upset or this player didn't play as well, or, you know, this team isn't starting out hot, or this team is like, ooh, like it's such a ball.
Your friends in your group chat are,
yeah,
are
talking giving you trash. Crap or, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Go to my DMs and see all the trash talking you guys are doing to me and all this stuff. But like,
not listeners of this podcast, like, so the other,
yeah,
people,
yeah, the other people.
There.
But like, it's like everyone, like, okay, let's keep a mentality where it's like we can continue to push forward through the ups and the downs. Like, you got to find a way. And so if you got to do a little extra research and find someone to come in or make a savvy trade, then you got to do that. Like, you got to put in a little bit of time here, just like we do. So, heck yeah.
Well, at the end of this long emotional season, somebody from this league will win. I got to share this with the people that are watching this on YouTube. The Eckler's,
yeah,
Invitational. Dude, it's so damn big. I can't really even get it in the front. I can move my back.
Yeah, you definitely got to keep that in the back, Darren Eckler's Edge. Yes, yes, yes. Well done.
Look at that thing.
Well done, Matt. Well done. That is,
well,
that,
listen, I had nothing to do with this.
Oh, really?
This is I have nothing to do with it. I mean, it's shipped to my house, but Colin and the folks from Yahoo worked with the folks, our friends at Trophy Smack, to get this thing made here. Trophy Smack does great stuff. They do,
yeah,
trophies like rings and belts. I think you've done some stuff with them before. So they're the ones who put this thing together. It got shipped to me. So honestly, it's really on me to win this league, because if I have to put this back in the box and, yeah, like ship it to Austin, I'm gonna just be an emotional wreck. Okay. Or God forbid I have to ship it to JJ, who beat me last week. You know, Ray Garvin.
Nice.
I mean, yo, Ray, shout out to Ray. He's currently in first. Nick Ercolano. If I have to ship this thing to any of these guys, Lindsey Rhodes, I mean, I'm never going to forgive myself. Okay. So it's really on me to win, to keep this thing staying right here,
yeah,
at my address.
That's epic, man. That's epic. Good stuff. Good stuff.
All right. Hey, we'll move on here to our last couple seconds. But before we do, let's take a quick break before we jump back into it. All right, we're back. Unfortunately, we got to skip the mailbag this week. We will keep sending in your trades. Keep sending in trades for us to grade. Again, it's just askaustin@yahoosports.com. We had some good ones. We can still get to those. We can save those. I know Cooper, Craig, Dylan, you guys sent in some good ones. Maybe we can get to those next week if we have some time. But for you out there that haven't sent any yet, if you're making some trades, send them in to our askaustin@yahoosports.com mailbag, and we will grade those next week. But before we get out of here, before we officially head into week 3. All right, Austin, since we're teaming up this season with the first ever Toyota Grand Highlander, the perfect vehicle for making new memories, we're going to create some memories of our own. In this segment, we're calling Future Snapshot. So, Austin, make me a bold prediction. Who is going to have a memorable performance this weekend?
Ooh, memorable performance. So maybe a little bias on this one, but I think, even though that's already been memorable, and it's not bold. I can't even say this is bold. It's more so memorable. But I think the Cowboys defense is going to absolutely shred the Cardinals. And I'm hoping they continue to put up some points this week. I don't even know who I'm playing. Who am I playing this week? I'm not playing Matt. I know I'm not playing you, but whoever it is. I'm hoping the Cowboys defense continues to pop off. It's not an individual, but I just the matchup. It's just a mismatch. It really is. It's going to be ugly. I think the Cowboys are going to get after the Cardinals. I think it's going to be memorable.
You are playing Faraz Siddiqui of Upperhand Fantasy, excuse me. And he is currently 0-2. So I'm glad to see that you're taking it easy on a team that's off to a slow start. Unbelievable. Not only is the Cowboys defense going to be great this year, and Austin, hell of a draft pick by you. Shout out. But they get Zach Wilson in week 2, and now they get the Cardinals. Hey, the Cardinals have looked a little bit better than expected, but they're still entered this year with the worst projected record. So hell of a draft pick by you, and probably a hell of a start by the Arizona Cardinals. I think it is going to be another memorable performance for that defense that, like I said, has more sacks or the same amount of sacks as they have points allowed. That's just like stupid for a defense.
That is crazy.
I'll give you one here, a memorable performance, I think, in week 3. And I'm sorry to say, Austin, this is going to be biased as well. because it is against your Los Angeles Chargers. And it also is a guy who's on my fantasy team as well in the Eckler's Edge League. Alexander Mattison is going to give a memorable performance. He's going to go for over 80 yards and score a touchdown, 80 total yards and score a touchdown in week 3 against the Chargers, whose defense, I think we can all admit, we're all friends here. This is the trust tree. It has not been great so far, defensive performance for the LA Chargers. We'll see. But let me tell you what, it also hasn't been great for my dude, Alexander Mattison, who, hell of a guy, was on the podcast in the offseason, such a nice fella, but is averaging 2.1 yards per target, 3.3 yards per touch this year. It hasn't been a great start for Mattison, but I think he gets it going here in week 3. I think maybe the Chargers still win the game, but I think the Vikings are going to be able to run over that defense with my guy, Alexander Mattison, on the way to a 2-1.
We're crushing this dude. No way. I'm going to let him know. You're giving more fuel for my defense. That's what we need. So we need more fuel. All right. Cool. All right. That's fair. It's fair. You're entitled to your own bold prediction. It just crushes me that we're playing them. So, hey, defense is going to step up this week. They got another opportunity to come out and prove ourselves. We got to get a freaking win. But yeah, it takes all of us. We got to keep scoring points and obviously, you know, get some stops, get some turnovers. But all right. I think that's a fair bold prediction.
Well, hopefully my bold prediction goes a little bit better than yours last week. That's all.
Okay. I mean, that's not even saying much. Josh Jacobs, man, what the heck? I'm speechless of how bad that turned out. What the heck? I saw some stat was like, never has a rushing leader ever had like a negative yardage game. I was like, I feel like 99% of people haven't had a negative yardage game. I haven't gone back and watched that game, but I got to revisit that. I got to see what the heck happened, because I'm like, this doesn't even comprehend in my mind. Like, how does it, what do you mean? -2? But man.
All right. Before we bring Austin to tears about his running back one on his fantasy team on that.
And he's on my fantasy.
See, we're making memories here every day on Eckler's Edge. Those were our future snapshots. Thanks again to Toyota and the first ever Grand Highlander. All right, Austin, hell of a show here. I feel like we really did ride the emotional roller coaster in this show. We had some low lows talking about some sad injuries, but you know, we had some high highs, me telling you that your defense is going to blow it against Alexander Mattison and you know, giving you shit about the -2 rushing yards, all while you're actually dominating our fantasy league. So, you know, what can I say?
It's a love-hate relationship, all right? Fantasy football, it's a love-hate relationship. I love to play it. Hate when it gets injured, hate when it's bad, love when it's good. And the thing is, it happens so fast too, because it's just week to week and there's so many games. And so, man, I hope you guys are having an amazing time with fantasy as we are. Looking forward to week 3, man. Let's get it, man.
Absolutely. Well, I'm having a great time, that's for sure. But that is going to do it for us today, folks. Tomorrow is Thursday, heading into a full slate of NFL action. Your buddy, my guy, Dalton Del Don, joining me for another episode of Stat Nerds Thursday, where we look at the most revealing stats that you need to know for all 32 teams. Until then, we're out.